We're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, this is Friday. This must be, where are we, Michelle? We're in Cadiz, Ohio. Cadiz, Ohio. Place. Real small little town. Harrison County, Ohio. Over near the eastern border of Ohio. Out in cold country. Salt of the earth people. Birthplace, as I told you yesterday, of General Custer. Hey, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. You can remember that song? There's a man with a gun out there waiting to take my hair. Maybe I guess I'm showing my age. George Custer's from the Cadiz and Clark Gable. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. So that's where Michelle and I are. We spoke to the Harrison County Republican Party last night. Crowd of about 200. And we gave them both barrels, and they love both barrels because it's salt of the earth people, man. It was salt of the earth people. And we'll talk a little bit about that. And I just got a line from Mark Trump, and I'm gonna steal here. If this Pete butt plug or butt plug, if past Mayor Pete, first of all, you mean to tell me we would consider having a mayor? A mayor of South Bend, Indiana, move in to be president of the United States. What? Mayor Pete Buttplug would be just another mayor in America if he didn't have a husband. Is it a husband he has? I think he has a husband. And I think he calls himself the wife. I'm not sure. I'm telling you. I think he says he has a husband. Folks, we're talking president of the United States here, right?
You're correct, Coach.
So he doesn't even take the leadership role in his home because he has a husband, he being the wife. Now, if he is the wife, does that mean I'm sorry. You can hit the button to stop what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it. You can hit the button if you want to. If he's the wife, does that mean he is the inserter or the insertee? Which role would Mayor Pete play? And Mayor Pete would not be even considered for president of the United States as a mayor if he wasn't sexually deviant. If he's just the average mayor, he wouldn't get consideration one. How many mayors are there out there more qualified to be president of the United States than Mayor Pete Buttplug? Hey, we're going to get banned on Facebook on this one, aren't we, boys? Just telling you some truth here. And we live in a country. My wife's up. She's that woke her up. We live in a country where people, the Drudge Report said he won the debate. He won the debate. So America not only wants to elect a homosexual, some Americans want to elect a homosexual, but a man who is a woman in the marriage. Somebody want to scold me? Somebody think I'm missing here? We live in we're crazy, aren't we? Are we crazy that they would even consider? That's how much our consciences have been seared. We can't even reckon. Guys, you remember anybody besides me? Remember when there was a thing called the closet and the guy was in the closet? Now the guy wants to be in the White House. And I stole Mark Trump's line. Says Mayor Pete gets elected president, they're going to start having an international fist bump rather than a handshake. Do you ever wonder why when you go to Wendy's or you go to McDonald's, you're in there and you go to the bathroom and you go up and you're washing your hands at the sink and there's a sign up there that says, all employees must wash their hands before returning to work. Why is that? Is it because there's something dirty down there? Something not healthy down there? Something down, when you go to the bathroom, something dirty down there that they want to make sure you wash your hands before you even go back to work. So the Mayor Pete, butt plug, fist bump. That's where Michelle's yelling at me because it's 7 o'clock in the morning and we're in a hotel. I don't want to wake anybody up. So I'm just giving some fist bumps out there. And lost my train of thought. Somebody jump in here while I get my train of thought back. Think I'm crazy? You guys think I'm crazy? I know I'm crazy. I live in that world.
We're going to start wearing gloves.
Fist bump. We're living in a culture and a society where we are giving serious consideration to a man who performs oral sex on another man. Publicly and openly. I would assume he does.
Hang on.
I'm sorry, somebody getting nervous. I don't care. Listen, we have to make this stuff, folks. We have to make this stuff unthinkable again. We have to. I don't know Pete. I don't know Mayor Pete. He's probably a great guy, probably a great neighbor, probably is. But what he does in the privacy of his own home is, in fact, his own business until he wants to be president of the United States. And then when he wants to be president of the United States, I'd like to do some scrutiny on what type of moral character this guy has. And I'm just telling you this. If this guy's moral character involves doing what I believe he does, has to do in order to have an orgasm, I got a problem with it. And if good people like you and me continue to keep our mouths shut because of political pressure, of social pressures, you're not allowed to talk about that, Coach. That doesn't sound very light. If we allow that kind of stuff to go on, then we get exactly what we do deserve. So that's why Mark Harrington told me that when they go to the abortion clinics, or when they go out on the streets, they take the bloody pictures. They take the bloody baby pictures. People need to see what's going on. And that's why Ron Brock, when he drives his truth truck around, he has on the truth truck pictures of two men kissing. And it makes them mad. Why does that make them mad? Why does that make them mad? Because they know that a picture's worth 1,000 words. And we need to make homosexuality unthinkable again, folks. It needs to go back in the closet. It needs to go back in the closet.
Exactly, Mayor, Coach. We're being straight, great again.
Mayor Pete is proud of what he should be ashamed of. And ashamed of what he should be proud of. They're not proud. I hope, Kyle, right wing watch, I hope you're writing down every bit of this. Listen, he's free. He's free to do what he wants to do in the privacy of his own home. He is. He's free to do it. Free to do it. But when he's running for public office, especially the highest office in the land, his private life becomes fair game. That's the way I see it. He's not going to get elected president. I'm not worried about that. But I'm worried about a country that would even consider him.
I'm happy to get banned.
Go ahead.
I'm going to help you get here. He's probably the female. He receives it in the butt, then in the mouth, and nothing but crap comes out of his mouth.
Oh, buddy. Dale, I think I'm a bad influence on you.
No, Coach, I was that way a long time ago, and you know that.
How proud would we be? See, They've just sold us so much bull crap. They just so much bull crap. Tolerance and diversity and love and all that stuff. How proud would we be if we knew that the president of the United States, how proud are the citizens of South Bend, Indiana? How proud are they to know that in the nighttime, their mayor gets in bed with another man and does that which the Bible says is unseemly? Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable.
Hey, could I finish my eggs and bacon and orange juice before this topic keeps going?
Well, you were late getting in to begin with, Roger. By the way, this is Flea Flicker Friday here, by the way.
This is true. I release my pleasant breakfast to that eight day.
Hey, Roger, what's wrong with Roger, bacon, eggs, and sausage?
Roger, make sure they're little sausages. Make sure you got some little sausages there. My wife just stuck her head around the corner and said, what will the Secret Service do when he has to go meet with the leaders of Iran who believe in the death penalty for the sodomites? How's Mayor Pete Buttplug going to handle that one? We'll get out. Yeah, Polly said, is this in the men's locker room? This is just real life, okay? If we talk like this again, this kind of stuff wouldn't be going on.
Well, Dave, I think you're precisely correct. This idea of not describing what they're doing hurts us. We need to be very explicit of what goes where.
You know? That's right. Roger, that's not love, is it? Tell me that. Please tell me that's not love. It's not love.
Hey, Coach, they want to teach our children where to put what, how to use a cucumber, but they don't want us to talk about it. They want the children to know, but they don't want us to talk about it.
That's right. We probably got people tuning out on us right now because this is pretty harsh. But let me. I'm going to do this real quickly here. I'm working off of my computer, so please bear with me here a second. I'm in a little different setup here in the hotel room today. I went to my stuff. Hey, real quickly, Jared, pull up that first video of Ronald Reagan. I don't know how many of you saw this, Ronald Reagan, on the debate on what night was that? Tuesday night? They had a commercial. This commercial ran on a Democrat debate. Now, remember, when you make your commercials, you try to direct your commercials towards your crowd, all right? I would not go into a whatever. You understand what I'm saying, right? If I want to market to children, then I make a video and I put it on children's shows, right? So if you were going to make a anti-Christ, anti-God, atheist video, you would certainly want to play that video to a warm crowd, to a crowd that is atheistic, hates God, right? So some of you probably missed this. Ronald Reagan Jr., former President Reagan's son, made this commercial to play in the Democratic debate. Yeah, go ahead and play that, Jared.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to support the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate, just like our founding fathers intended. Please support the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Not afraid of burning in hell.
Can't even believe it. Unbelievable.
They played it for the Democrats. They played it for the people who would be watching the Democratic debate. Folks, if you don't think there's a spiritual war going on, you don't think it is. Let me take you real quickly. Last night when I spoke to the Harrison County Republican Party, I talked about the three great lies that have destroyed America. I'm not going to give you the lecture. I'm just going to share them with you. It's really, really powerful. It was really powerful. Because, you know, a lot of times, folks, when you get into the middle of a Republican crowd, or I used to speak at some of the Tea Parties, not so much anymore. Tea Parties probably aren't around. You try to, again, address your message for the crowd. And as you probably know, I bring a pretty strong Christian message when I speak. And you may find it's hard to believe. Not all Republicans are Christians. Or not all Republicans want Christianity mixed in with what they do. So you always run some type of a risk when you do it. But I spoke last night of the three lies, the three greatest lies that have destroyed America. You know what lie number one was? And I presented great evidence. The lie of the separation between the church and the state. I ripped that sucker apart. It was awesome. Talked about Thomas Jefferson and the Danbury Baptists and where that thing come from, and Hugo Black, and took him through the steps of what happened after 1947, after separation of church and state was a judicial decision. And then we, prayer was out of the school, Bible reading out of the school, babies murdered, 10 commandments taken off the wall, sodomy legalized, gay marriage, showed them all of it based on Stare Decisis. It was really, really good. The lie of the separation of church and state. And then I went to number two, the second greatest lie perpetrated upon American people is what? Courts make law. And I ripped that thing up. And I did a civics lesson, said, okay, somebody in here, can somebody, out of you 200, somebody tell me how a law is made? And then they're a little nervous, right? They're a little, I hand the microphone to the guy, can tell me. He knew, because eighth grade social studies. I said, okay, tell me. And then he couldn't really tell me. I mean, he tried, but he couldn't really. So then finally somebody says, a bill's introduced in the House. Somebody yells at, yeah, bill's introduced. What's the next step? Is it now a law? No, it's not a law. What's next step? What's that? It goes to the Senate. Yeah. Okay, so the bill's introduced in the House and it goes to the Senate. I took them through the whole thing. And reconciliation and both houses passing it. And then it goes to the president and the president signs it, or the president doesn't sign it, goes back. And take them through all that. And they're waking up. They're remembering their eighth grade social studies. Yeah, now I get it. Okay. I get it. I said, okay, can somebody show me the law? Where's the presidential signature on Roe versus Wade? And a silence went across the room. So can somebody show me the presidential signature on a bill allowing men to marry men? Can somebody? Silence across the room. As they began to shake their heads and realize that they'd been sold a bill of goods. And then the third lie that we talked about last night, that the devil isn't real. Oh, then we really got, it's awesome. Then we really got into it, you know, and I went through the whole thing. You're either on God's team or you're on the devil's team, and painted that whole picture. What a route. It was awesome. I wish I could, man, Lord, if I could do that all across America, I'm telling you. Because we've been so deceived. We have believed so many lies. And we're in the mess that we're in. And I finished up with this. The problem in America, every problem we have is a moral issue. They're all moral issues. Every one of them. And we don't teach any morality. No standard of right and wrong. No standard morality. That's how we get a sodomite. Practicing open sodomite, being considered for president of the United States, and not a peep coming. Hey, one, let me see if I got that right. Pastor in the room last night. One. I was nice to him. Come on in here. What do you think about that, man? What do you think about Ron Reagan and the three lies that they've told to us? Flea Flicker Friday. Come on in. Bring in whatever you want. You jump in here with whatever you want.
Hey, Coach. Yeah.
They're not afraid to break into hell, so let them burn.
You know, I got thinking about that. Let me metaphysically or physically, I got thinking about that. And I don't know that this is a good topic to flip on the table. If our souls are cast into the lake of fire, remember, it's not the we're all cast into the lake of fire, the burning the pit, the burning pit. Now we know, somebody help me here. That's not a physical place. It's not a physical place. So when we think of people burning in hell, we think of a literal burning, a fire and their bodies. You know, I think about if they were to throw me into a fire, my buddy Rodney fell into the fire about a month ago. Burned his arms really bad. And he wasn't in the fire very long. And he was just, man, really, really burnt. To burn in hell forever, that doesn't seem possible, because you would burn up, right? You throw a piece of paper in the fire and it burns up. It's gone. It doesn't burn forever and ever and ever and ever. It changes it from one form of paper into a gas, and it doesn't burn forever. I think there's something there. So I've flick this into Trump. I think there's something there that we're missing, folks. How does a soul burn forever? How does an immaterial object burn forever? Anybody got an answer on that one?
Somebody turned it over in their graves.
Because that's where, that's where we are, right? We die, we're in our grave, and our soul someplace else, and it burns forever. What? See, I think there's a, I'm not saying there isn't a hell, and I'm not saying you don't burn forever. I'm thinking there's an understanding of it that we don't get. There's something we don't get about that. What does that mean? How does an immaterial thing burn? And how does an immaterial thing burn forever?
Well, Coach, I think it's eternal torment away from the presence of God, His power, His love. You're in the presence of the devil, demons, wickedness, evil. It's the eternal torment, I think.
Robert, could it be like this? What says in Romans 1, burning in their lust one towards another. Now, they're not really burning, right? But there's a yearning, a fire, something inside of them, burning one towards another. So when we go to hell and burn forever, is it a physical burning or is it an emotional burning?
Coach, I pondered that question a long time ago, and here's just a spitball thought. Here on the earth, everything has a combustible point. In other words, wood will burn quicker than stone. Stone will burn. It'll turn to a lava and it'll fire up. I picture hell being so hot that it's to the point that a soul itself will burn. That's hot.
But Dale, how does it burn forever? How does it, doesn't at some point, doesn't it burn up? The earth's going to burn up with a fervent heat.
Yeah, but a soul is an eternal, it's an eternal state.
We don't get it, do we? There's something deeper.
Hey, Coach, don't forget in Revelations, people will long for death and death escapes them. So there's going to be people not just in hell burning and wishing they could die. There's going to be people right here on earth, the Bible says, that will long for death and death escapes them.
Wow. We don't understand a lot of this stuff. But see, a lot of these things are metaphors. I go back to, I have an English degree. Metaphors means examples, a metaphor, a comparison.
Revelations 21:8 talks about fire and sulfur.
Pull up Revelation 21:8. You guys have to help me because I don't know. I don't have my true screen in front of me, so it's a little bit tough. Jared, if you can, or Connor, Revelation 21:8. Again, I'm sorry if I look distracted here. I'm not trying to do it. But, and he that overcometh, this is Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, I like to camp on that one, and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, Robert, you're a better scholar than me. Somebody told me a long time ago that doesn't death mean separation? Separation? Isn't that what, when we die, we're separated from our natural body, a spirit and soul leave our natural body? That's death. It says here the second death is what? Another separation, another eternal separation. I don't know, man. This is got any, being a Bible scholar, you got an answer for me there, Robert?
Well, the death is separated from God. We know now the whole creation is sustained by Jesus Christ. But when you get away from the presence of God, it's going to be chaos, misery, torment, mental, spiritual, physical, physical to some extent, but mainly spiritual and mental and psychological torment away from God. It's going to be a place of eternal torment.
Yeah, so we can't really understand what that even means. I just got to do this just because I'm me, okay? I just got to do this.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Jared, keep that screen up there. Keep that Revelation 21. Connor, keep that up there again. Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Verse 2 of the Bible, darkness. It'll simply be chaos. The earth was out form and void. That's where Satan's heading it. We're the light, according to John, to separate it in this time. So it'll be like darkness.
Mm-hmm. A darkness that we can't even conceive of. Void of all light. Just because I'm me, I got to do
this. Amen.
It's Flea Flicker Friday, all right? Flea Flicker Friday. So it talks about the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. They're going to have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now watch this. Watch this. They tell us the church is the bride of Christ, right? Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues and talked with me, saying, hey, come here, man. Come here. I want to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Must be the church, huh? And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So when they tell us that the church is the bride of Christ, this is for another day. When they tell us the church is the bride of Christ, what do you do with that verse right there? He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels. An angel came from heaven. An angel came, not just an angel, but one of the seven angels. It had the seven vials full of the seven plagues. This is a high dude. And he talks to me saying, hey, come on, bud. I'm going to show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He didn't show her the church. Showed him what? The New Jerusalem. Holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as a crystal. It had a great wall and high. Had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names were written there on it, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on he's describing the New Jerusalem, but he just told us that's the bride's, that's the bride. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take you here this morning. I'm just reading the Bible, and that's what it says.
Yeah, where the church, where the people think of the spirit of the bride, they think of in Revelations, and then Romans, actually I believe it's Romans, I want to say Romans 13, where Paul says, I have betrothed one husband.
Dale, I'm breaking up on my end. I don't know if it's on your end or mine. You're breaking up, Dale. It's a metaphor. And they like to take us, where is it, Robert? Is it Ephesians? Where is it where they talk about the husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave, and they make the comparison of a man loving his wife the way that Christ loves his church. And so therefore we make the church
Ephesians 5.
I don't know how I got on this other than it's Flea Flicker Friday. I really am prepared. I really did have some more stuff to throw at you. Ephesians 5, Dale says. Let's see. And Walker Christ has loved us and has given himself his love again. For this, go on down more, Jared. You know, I turned to our Bible scholar here, Robert. You know where's it talk about the husband? There it is. There it is. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it without the washing of the water by the word, that he might present to him a glorious church. Is he saying this is a bride? Or is he presenting to himself a glorious church? Wait a minute, are we the body of Christ? Isn't the church the body of Christ? That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. his body, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. I'm sorry. I'm just reading it. So ought men to love their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord does the church. For we're members of his body and his flesh and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. The two shall. Jesus is talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife and Jesus and the church, not the bride being a church. Not the church being a bride. The church is his body. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. It's a relationship between Jesus and the church. We are, the church is the body of Christ, not the bride. Sorry. All right.
I think it's more the comparison of the covenant, brother, being in covenant with God.
Yes, the covenant. The covenant, right.
This is serious stuff. This is serious stuff. That's all I can say.
I just stumbled on it.
This is meat and potatoes. And I can assure you, 95% of the believers I come in contact with don't even discuss this stuff.
No, because it troubles us. It troubles our theology. It troubles my theology. Yes.
So to get this straight, you're saying that we're the body, Christ is the head, mm-hmm. We together make up the groom, New
yes.
Jerusalem is the bride.
We enter into the New Jerusalem.
We with the Holy Spirit are part of Jesus. We're part of the body. I mean, all of this makes sense.
Body.
It's just not like Roger said. It's never taught this way.
No, we're taught the church. Come on, boys. We're taught the
Let's
church.
Let's go back
is a
and
woman.
Talk about Prickly Pete.
Well, Mike.
Because listen. Why do we, somebody help me out here. Why do we call the church she? I'm not a she. I'm a male member of the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus said, Paul said, there ain't no male or female because we're all part of his body. We're all part of him. Here's my wife. Come here. Here's my wife. She's part of the body, and I'm part of the body. Both of
yep.
us. Is she the bride now? Is she
yep.
the bride now, the male?
Coach.
What's going on here? We're part of the
it's
same
a
body.
It's not metaphorically speaking. Go out and look at boats. Every single boat in the ocean is named after a female. And so does that make them a female?
Oh, no.
Right. I'm not trying to ruin your Friday. The Holy Spirit, by the way, the Holy Spirit just led us into this because this was not at all where I was going to go today. But I think it's important. I think it's really, really important. And you know what, Roger? They'd throw me out of most churches if they heard me talking this way.
I'm just reading
the scripture.
Dave, even if a person may have a disagreement on this topic, it's not even debated. It's not even discussed. It's not even a challenge at all. That's one of my key components. It's not even discussed.
No, Roger, because, well, first of all, we would all agree. Every pastor that you run into would agree that the church is the body of Christ. Every pastor you would run into would say that. And then they flip right around two sentences later and then talk about us being the bride. Now, boys and girls, can somebody tell me how those two things? See, I've had guys try to explain it to me this way. They say, well, coach, there's just a miracle transformation that takes place. And just somehow the body becomes the bride. We don't know how that does it, but the Lord does it. What? He told us in Revelation, come here, I'm going to show you. Hey, come here. Hey, guys, look. Hey, Michelle, come here. Hey, guys, I'm going to show you my bride. I want to show you my bride. Here she is. Yeah, right here. This is my bride. This is my bride. And she says, come on, I'm going to show you my, hey, you want to see my wife? Can I see my wife? Yeah, come here. And what do they show? The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. Oh, I don't know. Some of you are scratching your head because you ain't never heard anything like this. And I don't even know. I just know something ain't right.
Well, Coach, I think it's both and.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Both and.
2 Corinthians 11, 1 and 2, Paul says, I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. I am jealous for you with the God of jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. The church is called a pure virgin. Revelation 19, he says, let us rejoice and be glad, give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So the bride makes herself ready by being clothed with white linen, which are the acts of the saints. The acts, A-C-T-S, not the words, not the teachings, not the philosophy or theology, acts of the saints.
Right.
So the church is the bride, but we have to be clothed with activity, action, acts, not with words and degrees and credentials.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you, Robert, but I ain't convinced. I mean, I hear you. Guys, listen, I can't both be my wife's, how am I going to say this? I can't be my wife's body and her husband. I can't be both. The two of us have become one, actually, what the scripture says. Now, we know that's crazy because she's sitting over there and I'm here. But the relationship that we have is oneness. That's what the marriage union is. Right, so we have Christ's church being the body, and we're told that body is a woman because that body is going to be married to Christ. That's what we're told. But what if we're not married to the church? What if the marriage is the New Jerusalem descending down out of heaven? By the way, Robert, it says it twice in the book of Revelation, twice. The angel takes him and shows him the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as bride, twice. I'm not going to go to war over it. I'm not going to fight with it. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you, this is one of these things I don't get. It's one of them I don't get. That how I can be the body of Christ and then turn around and be his bride. I don't get it.
It fits. It simply fits when you talk about assembling the body of Christ. He's the head. The Godhead, we are the body. We get married. And it makes perfect sense. Now, who do we get married to? The kingdom, heaven, New Jerusalem. I think that's what we're all waiting on. It makes perfect sense. It sits home in my spirit.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, you said it doesn't matter, and you're right. It shouldn't matter. But it does matter because a lot of people use a little difference like that in something that shouldn't matter, that, you know, that has no bearing on where you spend eternity, whether you think that church is the body or the bride of Christ. You know, some people think it's both. That's fine, too. But see, some people use whichever side you chose to stake your claim on. They use that as an excuse not to listen to anything else you have to say. That's where it does matter, but it shouldn't.
Amen. Amen. You know what I like about this? Here's what I like about this. We're allowed to talk about it. Huh? We're allowed to talk about it, and nobody get mad. Right? Nobody get mad. Nobody power off. Yes.
And, Coach, most of them want to be the boob. That's what they are. You know, when you call somebody a derogatory, you ain't nothing but a boob. That's what they are.
Most of them are too busy for going for second helpings and eggs and bacon on a Saturday morning.
you guys got a mean spirit here this morning. Should I move on out of this? Because it's
hey, you know, Coach.
Somebody, hey, hang on a second. Somebody smarter than me. Because I'm not equipped right now. You can find a second reference in Revelation, the book of Revelation. By the way, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. You can find the second verse in there that repeats the same thing. Come and I'll show you the bride. It's like in 21:2, and then it's like in shortly before, shortly after that. At least twice it says it. Go ahead, whoever's trying to come in. I'm sorry.
Well, Coach, if Jesus is a bridegroom, which is, he's called that several times, there needs to be a bride, I would think, if he's a bridegroom.
Okay, Robert.
There, Coach.
21:2, Robert, 21:2. It's on the screen. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, boys and girls, I don't know how you make it any clearer than that. Or we have a contradiction.
Coach, this can go pretty deep, but I applaud you for at least second guessing your teaching for your whole life. I broke out of that years ago. But let me tell you, the book of Revelation is a covenant lawsuit. God divorced his wife, the nation of Israel. He divorced them. Okay, he's got a new wife now. Okay, and that we're asking the question, is it the church? I differ. It's his new wife. The new heaven and the new earth passed away. Matthew 24:35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away.
Hmm.
There was a change when Jesus came to this earth and finished his work. And by 70 AD, there was a change. And we can talk about this for 2 or 3 days. But
right.
I applaud you for throwing this in there, because most people will never go here. They just accept their teaching, their eschatology. That's a lot of it's erroneous, and we need to talk about it. We have to look at it again. Yes.
Let me ask you this. Let me throw one more out there, because I've secretly studied this for quite a while, and I don't really have an answer. I still don't have an answer. But who gets invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Does anybody know who gets invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb?
People
get invited to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I thought they were the bride. You have to get invited to your own wedding?
Oh, the bride show.
Yeah, he don't.
Hang on. This is one of these things that make people nervous. This makes people nervous. Why do it? I just went to Pastor Tom Gill's wedding. His daughter's wedding, Michelle and I did. I don't think she got an invitation. I don't think the bride got an invitation. I don't think the groom got an invitation to the bride, to the wedding. They were the wedding. We know when we read the scripture, what's it say? We're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get invited to our own wedding? I'm just asking the question here. I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know the answer. I don't know. Anybody mad? Well, saying, I'm not going to listen to him.
You know what? That's okay.
I'm not listening to him anymore. He's a heretic. I'm not listening. My brother Jones taught me that for 15 years, and I'm not going to question it. Well, the Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, the Bible says a couple different things here that appear to contradict. Or does it? Have we just misread?
I don't think they're contradictions. Coach, I don't think they're connections. I think they're things that we just do not understand. Every single person who's ever walked on the face of the earth, likely sound you are, you're going to find you had holes in your theology. Because at the end of the day, this does not
happen. Hey, Dale, did you get George's phone? Did George
That's
tell you
what
his
matters.
Phone? You broke up there a lot.
I'm traveling.
I know you are, buddy. Polly Heath just said, Jared, Revelation 19, verse 6. I'm not going to let this go here. I don't care what you believe. I want you thinking. I want you to be thinking. I don't want you to just be a mind-numb robot. Revelation 19, 6 through 9, Polly says. Pull it up there, Jared, or Connor. And I heard, as it was, the voice of a great multitude. It is the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she would be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the linen is the bright, is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. We get invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get invited. Now, I didn't see, I thought, see, this is not the scripture I thought it was going to be, Polly, because there's another one that talks about the bride coming down from heaven, the new Jerusalem. It's in Revelation. I just don't have time to search it here right now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make this whole show about this. I really didn't. Really didn't. But it really bothers me because I want to know the truth. And I don't want somebody to just explain it away to me. Be saying, well, coach, that's just unexplainable. We just don't know. There's a mixture here, brother, between the physical and the spiritual, brother, and we just don't understand. Okay, well, then I'll live with that. Okay. But these two things, we're not the body. You can't be the body and the bride. You can't be Christ's body and his bride. I'll be written off as a heretic for sure now. Somebody else look at that and see when in Revelation. Come on, somebody. It says it twice, two times. I'd have had it prepared if I thought I was going to do this. All right, you want me to move on? You guys want to move on to something else? Or are you dumbfounded as I was when I started studying this thing out?
Coach, I know the answer, but it would take a while to give it, and we don't have long enough. So.
All right, bud.
I'll stay out.
All right, good.
Well, Prickly Pete.
Let's go back to Prickly Pete. This is getting too heavy. Let's go to something that's not nearly as heavy, right?
But Dave, I think one thing that's key you just said is you studied. Nobody studies the Bible anymore. Nobody sits down and says, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Don't speak through someone else. It's the studying of his word that is so important. And no, believe me, 95 of the people I run into in the church, whatever, nobody's studying their Bible. They're leaving on Sunday and coming back on Sunday.
Coach, this is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Yes, sir. That's what we're doing. That's what I'm trying to do here, man. I'm telling you, I don't even know what I know, what I believe. I don't know. I wish I was in my office doing my thing, because I'd pull up that second verse to confirm. There'd be two witnesses to the fact that we are the new Jerusalem's the bride. The new Jerusalem's the bride. Somebody Google, come show me the bride. My wife said, get off of it. Okay, honey. I love my wife, so I'm going to listen to her. I'll get off of it. Till we study it. But then, so maybe you guys can study that up for us a little bit and go from there.
Hey, you have to get out of the box to study it, Coach. You can't study it with the theology that you have if you're going to make it fit and say what you want it to say. I'm telling you. You have to get on the outside and look in and just attack it from it like you didn't know one thing. Now, I know a lot of people won't go there, but that's where you have to go to.
John Collison, Revelation 22:9. Try that, Jared. Thanks, John. Revelation 22:9. So we got 21:9, which we just read. And now let's see what Revelation 22:9 says, because this is an entirely different verse in the book of Revelation. So we know what 21:9 said. Come show me the bride. What's 22:9 said? It says this, and I, John, verse 8, I saw things and heard them. When I'd heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. And then the angel said unto me, See thou do it not, for I am the fellow servant, and of the brethren keeping the sayings of the book, the worship. I don't see it, John. No. Scroll on up a little bit, because I think we're close. No, the other way.
21:9.
Then he says to me, I am thy spirit of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. That's 21:9. Yeah, somebody said 22:9. John put it in there, 22:9. It is 21. I'm telling you, though, Robert, it's in there again. It's in there again. Okay, while we search, Robert, give us our daily cracker here today. Will you do that, bud? I don't have my book with me, so I can't take part in it. Wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. It's 21:9. Never mind. Go ahead, Robert. I'm sorry.
Okay, here. I really like what you said earlier about your three lies that you dealt with. Separation church and state, courts make laws, devil isn't real. It's the lies. And this fits in with what I'm saying today about truth. We need truth. Here's the devotional. Don't let truth decay deceive you.
Truth decay. Amen.
Truth decay. Now listen to all these verses regarding truth. And that's what we need is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the life, and the truth. And he also said, you abide in the truth and you will be set free. Jesus prayed to his Father saying, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus also promised to send the Spirit of truth to guide his followers in all truth so that they might know the things of God and have the mind of Christ, who is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the true anointing, which teaches us about all things.
Amen.
We are to love in deed and truth, because believers should expect God's truth to be available and discernible by simply reading what the inspired scriptures say without always having to interpret them to find out what they mean, or to misinterpret them to say what they want them to say. Although God still gives to his church teachers, prophets, and exhorters, we must not be overly dependent on those spirit-gifted individuals when we have the indwelling heavenly gift of the Holy Spirit as our teacher and guide. Maybe if we would more often practice the presence of God and sit at the feet of truth, Jesus, and enjoy fellowship with his Spirit of truth, we would not feel so distant from God and his truth. That's the devotion. So the thing is truth is the key. And 2 Thessalonians 2 talked about the Antichrist, who would come and deceive those who did not love the truth. So God gave them over to a spirit of delusion to believe what is false, because they did not love the truth. And that's what we see here today. We see people following lies of the devil, not the truth of God. And we see the predicament we have. When truth is fallen in the streets, Isaiah said in 59, we have injustice, wickedness. The devil has an open playground when truth falls in the street.
Amen. Brother. That's good, Robert. That's good. And it is a battle for truth. And, truth is it's provable, right? It's provable. So that's where the battle lies. That's where the battle lies. Do me a real quick favor. I'm thinking maybe, I've been scrolling while Robert was reading. Revelation 19. Jared, maybe you can, Connor, maybe you can pull that up. I still don't know if this is the right one. Revelation 19, verse 7. Oh, my goodness, it's everywhere.
Coach, I want to throw out a premise here that you have to start with. And who was the God's first covenant with? Okay, that's what Jesus is talking to so much in the New Testament. He's not talking to us 2,000 years later. A lot of the time he's talking to his wife, the Jewish people. He's talking, that's the first covenant. And you have to keep that in context. And that's the premise. Is that still ongoing or not? And that's a big question everyone has to determine right there.
Amen. Amen. I'll get off of it. I'll get off of that one. I got some great events going on this weekend. Don't forget Bobby Lee's having the event up in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. That's where my wife's heading one way. I'm heading another way. When we leave the hotel this morning, Mike Blake is having an event at his place this week, Buckeye Lake. Get out there and be part of that. Chad's having something going on at his place this weekend. I'm so blessed by this. This is such a blessing to me. But my wife says it to me all the time. Man, look what's going on. Don't get discouraged. Look what's going on. Things are happening. People are waking up. People are stepping out. People are making a difference. And then, of course, don't forget the Rim Fire Conference. Daggone it, Rob. I was going to show that new I don't have that. Jared, can you go to my Facebook page real quick? If you go to Connor, I don't know if you can do it. I'm kind of catching this at the end here, guys. Sorry. Leighton just made a new video of for the Rim Fire Conference. I put it on my – I think I posted it on my Facebook page. If you can find that real quick. Connor's trying to find it. Maybe you can pull it up and play it, Connor. Next one. There it is. Go ahead and play that one for us. This is about the Rim Fire Conference in Montana. I know it's hard for some of you to get out there, but there some of you who are listening who are within maybe an eight-hour drive or something. We'd really love to see you be there. Go ahead. Play that.
Rim Fire Project, coming to you today from the Angel Theater here in Columbia Falls, Montana, where we're going to be holding the Rim Fire Conference next weekend, October 25th through the 27th. If you live in the Rocky Mountain region, anywhere from Wyoming to Washington State, Idaho to Alberta, British Columbia, to all across the great treasure state of Montana, then I want to encourage you to come sit by this warm fire with me. Have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea as we listen to the hearts of Bradley Dean, Coach Dave Dobemeyer, Rob Pugh, Pastor Steve Cripps, and Dr. Mike Spaulding, along with a few of the pastors who are directly involved in the Rim Fire Project and some of the men whose lives are deeply being touched and impacted through the work of God in this movement. Bring your wives along with you. We'll leave a light on and make room for you. You can get your tickets today at coachdavelive.com/rimfiretickets. Get your tickets today at coachdavelive.com/rimfiretickets. Come on, sit by the fire with me. Let's all get reignited together in the movement of God through the Rim Fire Project.
Thanks, Leighton. In fact, I think I got a bunch of snow out there. I'm not sure. I think I got a lot of snow. Hey, Bobby Lee, I see you're in here. What do we got going on out here in Hamburg, Pennsylvania this weekend, Bobby? Can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Yeah, about 5 to 8:30 tonight, we're meeting at the hotel conference room, the Microtel Hotel, and I've connected with other patriot groups around here. With a lot of people. I have no idea how many people are going to show up tonight or tomorrow, but I'm told that the Lehigh Valley Tea Party is going to show up and stand with us, Berks County Patriots, and all kinds of other people. There's maybe a car show out in Hamburg tomorrow. I'm hoping that's going to be the case because us out there with these signs, we're going to affect thousands of people. So we got good fellowship tonight on the street. Tomorrow and sometime around 12 or 1, I'm hoping we can all eat together. And then after that, everybody can break and go home and be home for the evening.
Amen, Bobby. Sure, Bobby, I appreciate all you're doing, man. Appreciate it. Hey, listen, folks, as I close out here today, you know, rumors run rampant, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, some people are going to try to take what we talked about here today, and they're going to try to throw mud at me. And you're going to say, he is teaching doctrines of demons. That guy is off of the rail. I want everybody to understand something today. I already told you, I don't know. But I told you this. Those two things in my mind do not line up. So you run off and you don't ever come back because, oh my goodness, brother, he's leading you down the wrong road. I've been studying this Bible for 40 years and it says right here, it's the bride of Christ. Okay, cool. I got no argument with you. But if we can't throw these topics out on the table and slice them and dice them and chew them up and still remain friends at the end of the day, then there is no hope for us anyway, right? The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, dude, you better read your Bible again, because it don't say that. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.